Welcome to Between Two Lips, a podcast dedicated to all things pelvic health for women. I'm your host, Kim Bopney, the Vagina Coach, and I am excited to share with you information from leading pelvic health professionals from around the world, stories from women at all life stages who have faced struggles and successes, and of course, I share a little about my own pelvic health journey as well. There is too much silent suffering associated with the female pelvis, and I am on a mission to change that. It's time we talk openly about a part of the body that deserves a whole lot more attention than it gets. Join me each week for casual and candid conversations that will both inform and inspire you to optimize your pelvic health for life. I'd like to thank the sponsor of today's episode, Feel Amazing Vulva and Vaginal Moisturizer. Studies show that moisturizing with hyaluronic acid is an effective treatment for vaginal dryness. Vaginal dryness is most commonly associated with menopause. When we reach menopause, estrogen goes for a steep decline, and so does hyaluronic acid. Hyaluronic acid is a naturally occurring molecule that our body makes on its own, keeping our eyes, mouth, skin, joints, and vaginas naturally lubricated. But our body's hyaluronic acid starts to decline in our 30s and 40s, and then more significantly post-menopause. There are other reasons that can lead to vulva and vaginal dryness, including the birth control pill, postpartum, overuse of pads and panty liners, certain cancer treatments, and some medications and health conditions. The Feel Amazing Vulva and Vaginal Moisturizer is made from hyaluronic acid and vitamin E to restore natural moisture back into the skin cells of the vulva and vaginal wall. It was researched and developed by BC-based pharmacists in collaboration with vagina owners age 35 and up, and my good friend Shirley Weir over at Menopause Chicks. Feel Amazing can be purchased online without a prescription. This means you can take control of your vaginal health and apply the moisturizer as often as your own unique needs require without having to consult a doctor first. I use Feel Amazing, have been using it for several years and absolutely love it. I put it on right after my morning shower and it truly does feel amazing. No mess, no goo, just tissue support and health that I absolutely love. I've got a link in the show notes for you so you can get started taking care of your vulva vaginal health by moisturizing your vagina today. Welcome to another episode of Between Two Lips. I'm your host, Kim Bopney, the Vagina Coach. And in this week's episode, you have me. This is a solo episode about my experience with PRP or PRGF for the pelvic floor. So for those of you that aren't familiar with what PRP is or the other term PRGF, they're used a little bit interchangeably. PRP is platelet-rich plasma, and it's used a lot in the beauty industry for certain types of facials and rejuvenation treatments. There's also something called the O-shot. And the O-shot is PRP injected into the clitoris and the front wall of the vagina and is designed for enhancing pleasure and orgasm. And so many years ago, probably like maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I learned about the O-shot. And around that time, I also was learning from Dr. Amy Killen. And she is very much in sexual health and regenerative medicine and was using stem cells and PRP and exosomes. Before I had my podcast, I did an interview with her that you can find on my YouTube channel, which I can link in the show notes. But I was fascinated with the potential of PRP for vaginal rejuvenation, for pelvic floor dysfunction, and specific to birth injuries like avulsion injuries. And I didn't know anybody who was doing anything with regards to that. The O-shot was what came closest, but it wasn't put in where I felt, not that it shouldn't be put there, but that in terms of helping with other things, I felt like there were so many other places, locations where there could be injections for benefit. So anyway, that's sort of the seed that was planted in my head many, many years ago. And I had never been told that I have an avulsion or partial avulsion until just before my Rectaseal surgery, my pelvic floor physio, I went to a different physiotherapist. I loved my very first one, but I just felt like I wanted a different opinion as I was exploring surgery. So I went to somebody who I'd known for a long time, but had never been treated by. And when she was doing her assessment, she felt on my left side. She said, it feels like you have a partial avulsion. And she said, not with my own fingers, but she said, can you feel the difference as I'm palpating on your left versus your right? And what I felt was, it was almost like her fingers were more on bone as opposed to on squishy, like touchable muscle. And so that was a bit of a shocker to me. I went forward and still had my rectocele surgery. My surgeon had never said anything. My other pelvic physios had never said anything. And so it was just sort of a seed planted in the back of my mind. And then, you know, fast forward, I start my podcast and I'm in lots of different Facebook groups to learn from people what they're talking about, what they're dealing with. And this one doctor, Dr. Shoberi, would often come up in terms of avulsion conversation. So I reached out to Dr. Shoberi and asked if he would be a guest on my podcast. And he said, yes, for sure. And he's a lovely man. We had a great conversation. And he's at the end of that. You can find that in one of my previous episodes. I can link to that also in the show notes. But he had said, you know, if you're ever down in the Washington, D.C. area, come and see me and we can do an assessment and I can let you know. So thinking, you know, here I live in Canada, and in terms of getting especially anything to do with screening done through the medical community, or the medical system really, is very challenging. And I felt like it's going to take me years. So I've just never pursued it and kind of kept that in the back of my mind that maybe I would go see Dr. Shoberi one day. Fast forward another, I don't remember how long, but in one of those Facebook groups, somebody had tagged me in a conversation. And in the comments that as I was reading, somebody had said, I have had PRP done. She was experiencing avulsion. She has an avulsion injury and she was experiencing some benefit and some relief from this PRP. So just to back up a little, the term avulsion, and Dr. Shoberi talks a little bit about this, avulsion means where muscle has pulled away from the bone, and it's not specific just to the pelvic floor. It can happen in other parts of the body, but pelvic floor, levator ani avulsion is where a portion of the pelvic floor musculature pulls away from the attachment at the pubic joint. And his comment was that not as many people are using that term. It's maybe not quite the right terminology to use, but it's what a lot of people still reference. So where there's been a partial or complete detachment of the muscle from the attachment point on the pelvic floor, the bony scaffolding of the pelvis. And it can make you more prone to incontinence and especially prolapse. I have another conversation with another woman who is an incredible advocate with regards to avulsion, Stephanie, also known as Brave Mama. And I was very emotional at the end of that conversation, just knowing what she has struggled with since the birth of her first child. So it's a very powerful episode. I highly recommend that you have a listen. But avulsion statistically in research says about 30% of women in a vaginal birth will experience some sort of an avulsion. So that's what it is. And again, many, many, many years, I've never had anybody tell me this until I met with this one physio, and she said she suspected it, planted that seed, met with Dr. Shoberi on my podcast, shelled that. Then I'm in this Facebook group. Somebody had mentioned my name. I'm looking through the comments. Another woman from Canada also who has experienced an avulsion injury. Is it benefiting from PRP? So of course I message her privately and say, oh my gosh, I've been thinking that this is the next step in regenerative medicine for the pelvic floor. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience? She put me in touch or gave me the contact information for the clinic in, lo and behold, Washington, D.C. It's a pelvic floor physical therapist who has partnered up with a regenerative medicine doctor who they are literally about two blocks from one another in downtown Washington, D.C. So I took this as a sign. I decided to book a flight, go have an appointment with Dr. Shoberi. And then in that same visit, I was also going to book an appointment with Thrive Physical Therapy. And it's called ROSM, R-O-S-M, and it's Dr. Siddiqui. So Dr. Jessica Probst is at Thrive Physical Therapy, and Dr. Siddiqui, the two of them work together. So Dr. Jessica, she works with many people who have injuries and also kind of like myself had sort of seen Oshod and the potential here. And she learned about Dr. Siddiqui and said, you know what, like, could we do this here? So she was sending people to his office for other types of injuries, knee, shoulder. And she was saying, why, if we can do it elsewhere, why can't we do it in the pelvic floor? So they got together about a year ago and they have been helping people specific to pelvic floor. He does a lot of other body parts as well, but the two of them together have collaborated to help a lot of women with pelvic floor dysfunction. So this was a big trip. It was in September of this year. This is part one of the podcast where I talk about that first appointment and treatment session, and I will do a follow-up podcast episode for the second therapy. They recommend that you do at least two. The cost and travel, it's obviously not super convenient for me to travel to Washington, D.C. multiple times. At the cost, it's expensive. And so I decided that I would choose two and kind of call it a day at least then. And who knows, maybe I'll go for another session somewhere down the road. But that's how it all started. And I fly down and have an appointment with Dr. Shaberi, who's lovely. Loved him in person just as much as I did online. And he went through a very thorough assessment, and he uses ultrasound, 3D ultrasound imaging to point out everything that he's looking at. And I recorded all of this. So I have and will be sharing a blog post where I will put links to the videos as well. And he did confirm that there was a portion on the left side of my levator ani that was disrupted, was not fully intact. So his recommendation, actually, had I lived close by, had I been from the States, he would have recommended surgery. I by no means feel like I am anywhere near needing surgery. I don't have symptoms that are bothersome to any sort of degree that I would consider having surgical intervention for this. But it was really, really enlightening for me to have this information and go through the assessment with him. And it was a fantastic confirmation for me, I would say. So that was on one day. That the next day, I had then have an appointment with Dr. Jessica. And what they do is they do an initial two-hour assessment, Dr. Jessica and one of her partners, Dr. Neva. And it was an incredibly thorough assessment, probably the most thorough pelvic floor assessment I've ever had. And they get their findings, confirming a lot of things that I already know, you know, in terms of the grade, you know, 3 out of 5 and all that kind of stuff. And then about an hour later, I walk down the street to the Rossum office and I have a blood draw. So you have a bunch of vials of your own blood taken. They put that then into a centrifuge, spins it around, and that separates out the platelet-rich plasma, PRP. A lot of people call it PRGF, platelet-rich growth factors. So the what PRP does when the platelets are injected, they help stimulate the repair of our own tissue. So it's not going to magically reattach my muscle per se, but it helps regenerate tissue and create collagen and build up more capacity and resilience and use all parts of the body, pain, injury, musculoskeletal. It's really quite miraculous. So I have my blood draw, and then you wait about half an hour and then you go into the treatment. And for the treatment session, Dr. Jessica and Dr. Neva come down and they join me with Dr. Siddiqui in the treatment room and Dr. Siddiqui's assistant. So I had four people, care providers, in the room with me. And Dr. Neva and Jessica talk about their findings, ask if there's anything that I've missed. We have a conversation about it. And then Dr. Siddiqui does an evaluation with transperineal ultrasound. So you lay on a treatment table. They have the ultrasound there. There's a big screen that is put up so I can see it as well. And then he does his evaluation with the ultrasound, looking for spots of injury, spots of weakness, locations where he feels an injection may be beneficial. And the interesting part, the cool part too, was he could see and confirm some of what Dr. Shaberi was saying, and he also was finding additional parts, I guess you could say, areas. And also Jessica would say, you know, I felt this in this location, let me palpate. So she would insert her fingers And she'd say, okay, I've got my fingers on the spot. And then from an external transperineal with the ultrasound, Dr. Siddiqui would take the probe and find where her fingers were. Then she would gently remove her fingers, and then he would be left seeing what's there and could confirm or deny if that was a place of need in terms of an injection. So he went through and highlighted numerous spots, not just in my pelvic floor, but where my rectus, my six-pack muscles attached to my pubic joint, where my SI joints, my adductors, so my inner thigh, like all over. And I'd have to look back in my records. I can't remember exactly how many injections it was, that first one, but it was significant. I'm going to say it was probably somewhere around 15-ish injections. Hey, I'm just jumping in to gently nudge you to put your pelvic health at the top of your to-do list today. I'm not talking about hundreds of Kegels. I'm talking about a whole body approach that addresses root causes and helps you get rid of your leaky bladder, your prolapse symptoms, your chronic low back pain, and your lackluster sex. My 28-day BuffMuff challenge has helped over 6,000 women stop suffering and get back to living. It's an app-based pelvic floor fitness program that gives you a 10-minute whole body workout each day for 28 days. That's it. 10 minutes is all it takes. You will build your bones, your heart, and your pelvic floor in a way that is unique and effective. Participants are always saying that they have never heard of an approach like this, and they have only ever been told to do Kegels or to never do Kegels, but instead do reverse Kegels. Kegels are effective and do work when done correctly and consistently, but most women don't know how to do them correctly. So even if they are consistent, they don't get the results they want, so they give up. I believe the pelvic floor needs to be trained dynamically with whole body movement, not with static Kegels done over and over. Come join me in my BuffMuff app and take the 28-day challenge. What do you have to lose except the pads, the symptoms, and the limitations? It's time to ditch the incontinence pads, eliminate bothersome symptoms, and get back to living. I have a link in the show notes below so you can sign up now and start buffing your muff right away. So now we get to the fun part. You are laying on a treatment table, and you, as if you're with a pelvic physio or anybody else, you have a gown on, have sheets draped over, and my knees would fall out to the side. And he then would take the needles, and the first injection was actually a pain reliever, almost like an anesthetic. So the anesthetic was injected first, and then the PRP would be injected afterwards. And it's not super comfortable by any means. They currently don't offer any topical pain relief. There's laughing gas if you want, but there's currently no pain medication. And that is something that I think, in terms of this becoming more palatable for people and more bearable, I think some sort of pain management will be a big piece of it. It's quite uncomfortable. It's short-lived in the sense of there's an immediate injection, and then as he's inserting the PRP, there's discomfort and pressure and sometimes some pain, and then it stops. So it's not like it's lasting for a huge length of time, but it still is, it's a disruption to your nervous system. So it was probably treatment-wise about 45-ish minutes, and the injections are not inside the vagina. They are outside in external structures around the vulva, into the pubic joint area, SI joint area. So nothing is actually going directly inside the opening of the vagina. So after that is complete, then they discuss some pain management strategies. I found I didn't actually need any pain management. It was uncomfortable, but I was fine. I was quite stiff. So walking back to, walking out of the building and back to where I was staying, I felt restricted in my stride length. It was a little bit, I was uncomfortable. I was very achy. And then it's basically 2 weeks of no exercise, no Kegels, no sex, no nothing. So that was very difficult for me as an exerciser. I really, really missed exercise, but I stuck true to the 2 weeks and did nothing. And because I'm in Vancouver, I obviously got on a plane the next day and flew back. And so I didn't have any discomfort really sitting. I'd have to move slowly. Like I was very cautious with my movement, partially because of discomfort, but partially because I was just minding my pelvis, I guess. And so that was 2 weeks. And then at the end of that 2 weeks, the changes that I noticed were the big one. So if I go back to why I decided to pursue this, it wasn't just because, oh, I want to see if I have an avulsion and I'm just going to do this treatment because I feel like that's true and that I do have one. I did have a few symptoms. So when my physio told me, I think you have a partial avulsion, it was like this light bulb with that, oh, okay, well, if that's true, then that makes sense why I feel this and why I feel this and why I don't feel as strong as I feel like I should, given how much pelvic floor exercise I do. I was never able to progress beyond a 3 out of 5 with my physio in terms of the grading that they do. Never felt as strong as I should. I always felt a little bit vulnerable with heavy lifting and certain high impact activities. I often would still get pain at my pubic joint with certain activities. One very common one was a side plank. So I would just not do those anymore. And one that really bothered me, and it wasn't painful at all, it was the noise and the sensation. It's like I could hear my vagina. If I didn't have underwear on and I was like, I've put on a pair of pajama bottoms and I'm walking around, I could hear, it's almost like I could hear the walls of my vagina squishing together. And that drove me crazy from a sensation. It made me feel vulnerable. And I also couldn't stand that I could hear it. It wasn't loud, not like everybody could hear it, but I could hear it and it drove me crazy. I also didn't have a huge amount of sensation with insertive sex. My husband really never noticed a difference from before children to after, but I definitely did. And I also have a bit of a heebie-jeebie sensation right at the opening of my vagina. And so anyway, those were kind of the symptoms that I thought, oh, I wonder if this would be able to address them. So after the 2 week recovery period, I definitely noticed a significant improvement in the squish sound. I didn't notice much change in the heebie-jeebie. I actually had a little bit greater discomfort in my pubic joint, not painful really, just a bit of an ache there. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in my second episode as to when I spoke about it with Dr. Jessica, what she sort of hypothesized as to why that was. And that was it. From an insertive sex perspective, I didn't notice really a huge amount of change, like very, maybe a little bit. And it didn't take away completely the vulnerable sensation. I didn't feel like magically now I could go and lift super heavy weight or go for long runs or anything without feeling that a little bit. So definitely helped with the squish, which was really, I would say, probably the biggest annoyance that I had. So I was really grateful with that. Didn't totally eliminate it, but definitely significantly improved that. And yeah, and that was that. So that was my first session, my first experience. That was September of 2023. And my follow-up session, or my follow-up appointment, was at the end of November. So I'm going to be recording a second follow-up to this episode where I talk about my next appointment and what I have noticed in terms of change since then. So that's that. I will link some information about what PRP is, what the O-shot is, some avulsion information, as well as those two episodes I talked about with Stephanie and Dr. Shaberi. And also linking to Dr. Jessica at Thrive and Dr. Siddiqui at Rossum, if you wanted to check that out. But I really am a huge fan and think there is so much potential for alleviating symptoms. I've seen even the O-shot being helpful for people with lichen sclerosis. So that's a tissue disease. I think it could be helpful from a pain perspective. I think it could be helpful from a sensation. People who don't have as much sensation with sex, I think it could be helpful from an orgasm perspective in terms of the intensity and strength from a pleasure capacity. I don't think it's magically going to reverse somebody's prolapse. I think it could be helpful for incontinence. I think, that was one symptom I forgot to mention. I was starting to feel every once in a while I would have a little bit of urgency. So I do have an early stage bladder prolapse, and I was noticing every once in a while I would have some urges sometimes. I did notice that improved a little bit since the first, like after that first treatment. So that was another thing that I forgot to mention. But I do think that, there is just so much potential for our whole body, but specific to the pelvis, obviously my bias. I really think this is going to, it's going to eventually be a regenerative therapy offered in multiple clinics. I guarantee it. I love the approach that Dr. Siddiqui and Dr. Jessica have in terms of collaboration. I think the fact that having a pelvic PT, having a regenerative medicine doctor using ultrasound, I think it just really, really personalizes and individualizes the treatment, which I think is very special and very unique. And the O-shot is more generic, I would say, and it should be done by a physician. And I believe those are the only people licensed to offer that treatment. But with the rise in vaginal rejuvenation and treatments and therapies, I just feel like this is a natural one to add to the list. And I think it's one that I would choose before some of the lasers and light therapies and the more ablative procedures personally. Again, it could depend on the condition that somebody was dealing with. In terms of cost, it is, you need to pay for the initial assessment with Dr. Jessica, which was, I believe it was around $300. You need to pay for her time where she comes down to Dr. Siddiqui's office. You need to pay Dr. Siddiqui. It was about $2,000 total. And these are US dollars, by the way, for that first initial treatment. So it is expensive. This is not accessible for absolutely everybody. And I do think that at some point down the road, the costs will come down as this becomes a more practiced and available treatment. But right now, there's no research for it. It's very off-label, I would say. But I think there's huge, huge, huge potential. So I'm excited by it. I've definitely noticed a change. You'll hear a little bit more after my second treatment in the next episode. So hope you found this interesting. And you can look out also for blog post where I will share images and some of the videos I had from the procedures and also my meeting with Dr. Shaberi, which might be interesting to some as well. All right, see you in the next episode.
That's it for another episode of Between Two Lips. Thank you so much for choosing to spend part of your day with me. If you are enjoying the show, I recommend subscribing so you don't miss an episode, and I would also be grateful for a positive review. This will help get the information I share into the hands of more people who may not even know that help exists. Finally, I encourage you to take what you learn here and put it into action so that you can ensure that what you hear me and my guests share is not just lip service.